The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hi, this is Jim.
And this is Max.
Check out our podcast, The Step Over, Liberty Ballers Podcast Network, for all of your Sixers needs.
Player analysis, game breakdowns, who would look coolest in a headband, and more.
Subscribe to Liberty Ballers podcast feed on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts, and check out The Step Over, a podcast about Sixers basketball.
Mostly.
Welcome into Off Topic Tuesday, the show that you never knew you wanted and didn't ask for, but we're here anyway. I am your host, Michael Kist. Follow me on Twitter at MichaelKistNFL. And we have a new voice joining us today, but you know her work from BleedingGreenNation.com. You can follow her on Twitter at LovelyBuckeye. She is Alexis Chasen. Alexis, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to finally be on the show.
And we are excited to have you. It's nice to bring on some new voices. So for those not familiar with Off Topic Tuesday, this is kind of a day, even though I'm bald, where we kind of let our hair down and just talk about stuff from around the league. This time, we took some Twitter mailbag questions from you guys. So me and Alexis are going to be answering those for you. Before we do that, though, breaking news as we're recording this, because we're recording it on Monday night during the Jets and Lions Monday night football game. Sam Darnold comes out in his NFL debut and in his first career throw, throws a pick six. What a time to be alive for Jets fans. Alexis, what were your thoughts on that?
It looked so similar to his last game in a USC jersey against Ohio State earlier this year.
Are you a Sam Darnold fan or?
No, I'm pretty sure he's overrated. And I think the Jets really messed up trading Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, I'm a big Teddy Bridgewater fan. Did you have a QB1? Were you into the draft like that?
Like, who were the other quarterbacks in the draft? I feel like they were all sort of equally bad. And since we got Carson Wentz, I sort of didn't care.
Yeah, once you get your franchise quarterback, if you're not like a big draft person, you really don't have to worry about quarterbacks in that life. I'm watching the game right now. And what I was doing was I'm switching between the English and Spanish commentary. And let me tell you, it is hype on ESPN2 right now. These dudes are like super excited. And we're excited about this Off Topic Tuesday. So what we're going to do is we're going to get to the Twitter mailbag. And let's see who we can start it off with here. Let's start with, I'm going to kill these names, by the way. I am sorry, gentle listener, if I murder your name. But part of my bit is aggressively mispronouncing names. And if you have a non-conventional name, it is going to get slaughtered on this show. So let's start with a real tough one here. Alistair Fillingham, at Al Fillingham. His question is, my girlfriend broke up with me the night of the Falcons game. What level of drinking during the Bucks game will ensure I remember all five of Foles' inevitable TD bombs, but forget her cold, wretched, broken promises? There's a lot to unpack there.
Yes, I love this question so much. And my advice would be, it's not so much what level of drinking, but what you're drinking. So if you want to remember the game, have a good time, forget everything else, maybe beer's the way to go. If you want to forget everything, then, you know, some liquor, maybe some Jack Daniels, and you'll have a good time that way too.
Yeah, my thinking is, so when I was in Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl, Each night, me and the boys would go to this lovely place called Veets. My night at Veets always started with four double tall vodka Red Bulls. So there's your script, Alistair, for the first quarter. The rest, just like calling a football game, is kind of based on feel. So go wild, but don't slow yourself down with beer unless it's some high octane stuff. It's mostly just empty calories. But yeah, the first quarter script should be four double tall Red Bull and vodkas. That'll get you going to Blackout City in no time. But you'll still be running on pure instincts due to the Red Bull. And you'll remember most of the touchdowns. Day drinking, I found, has about a 30% slower burn to blacking out, which is just science. And you cannot disprove that.
I always just fall asleep randomly and pass out like way before everyone else. So you should probably listen to your advice.
Did you do a bunch of tailgating?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it gradually, you know, went down because as, you know, as I got older, I couldn't quite hang with the young folks anymore. But yeah, I definitely do my fair share of hanging out on game day Saturdays in Columbus. They do know how to do that here. That's for damn sure.
Have you missed any games because of it?
More than one. Like Kegs and Eggs started at like 5 or 6 a.m., and so, you know, for like a 3:30 game, it was just torture. Like at least for like a night game, you would start a little later in the morning and, you know, you got some sleep. But a noon game, it was just game over.
Yeah, donezo. Okay, this next one is from Peter Hoffman at HoFlax24. What began the 8-year streak without a bad day? So just for a reference point here, if you guys haven't listened to the Kist and Solak show, don't know what you're doing with your lives, but I always introduce my co-host Benjamin Solak as Mr. 8-year streak without a bad day. I can't speak for Ben, but I'm going to take a stab at this. But Alexis, I want you to try first. What do you think the 8-year streak started out with? What bad thing happened to make him have a bad day?
I want to say, like, he's just such a, I feel like a happy guy, like maybe a bad haircut. like that would just be like a really bad day. Like, ugh.
So you think he's gone 8 years without a bad haircut?
You know, that could, everything's good as long as your hair's good, right?
Okay, so here's what I theorized happened. So 8 years ago, Ben was on a family outing at the cinema, and on the walk home, he and his parents accidentally ventured into a notoriously rough neighborhood and were accosted by a mugger. Not content to merely rob the wealthy Solak family, the hoodlum, whose identity was never determined, shot both of his parents before fleeing into the darkness. And as he knelt beside his parents' bodies, Ben swore to avenge them. And having been the worst day ever, Ben started his streak of good days and good deeds.
If he doesn't finish every podcast now with, "I'm Batman," I'm going to be really disappointed.
I think that's it, though. I think I nailed it. I think I know Ben enough after the years of being with him to know something like that for him is like a bad day, because normal stuff, I mean, I've seen him get absolutely shredded on Twitter, and he's got like the thickest skin of anyone I've ever known. How do you take Twitter criticism, Alexis? Does it really bug you, or can you kind of brush it off?
It depends. If it's something I did wrong, like a factual error in a writing piece, I get like hives all over and I like get really uncomfortable in my skin for about 30 minutes. But if it's just like, "Oh, you suck, you're a girl," I'm like, okay, well, not really anything I can do about that. So just move on.
How are the Bleeding Green Nation commenters with you typically? Because they can be up and down for me. I could take them or leave them.
Yeah, I think for the most part, pretty good. The very first comment on like my very first article was like, "Who the hell is this chick?" And then there was this like very awkward thread of, "I think she's married. Oh, well, that's a bummer." And then it like continued on. And I was like, all right, well, things took a left turn somewhere. But, you know, goodness. Yay, Eagles.
let's keep it with the Eagles talk. We'll go with Seamus at Seamus_Clancy. How many current Eagles should make the Eagles' own Hall of Fame? And I thought about this before the show when I saw it. And I'm going to go Carson Wentz.
Yes.
Jason Peters.
Yes.
Lane Johnson.
Yes.
Jason Kelce.
Oh, okay. I didn't have him.
I mean, he has to after that speech, I feel like.
Yeah, just for the speech alone.
Fletcher Cox.
Yep.
Malcolm Jenkins.
I was wondering, I guess for him, he would, because I'm sort of still on the fence with him and Sproles. Like, are they going to retire Eagles? Are they going to retire right. Saints?
Yeah, because they did kind of split time there. I feel like Malcolm's going to accrue enough time here
to be able to
get that. Did you have anyone outside of who I had?
No, I think that was actually it. Oh, no, I had Zach Ertz. That was my last guy.
Oh, Zach Ertz is a good one.
Because he's been here the whole time. I feel like, you know, he's like the new Brent Celek.
See, I totally slept on Zach Ertz there. That's disappointing. So, yeah, we're throwing Zach Ertz. So, for me, that puts me at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And Ertz would make 7. So, I like that. 7's a good number. Not bad for one roster to have 7 Hall of Famers on it for the Philadelphia Eagles.
No, it looks pretty good.
Paparog at Raw G Moto. If the Eagles can only afford to keep one, would you rather keep Ronald Darby or Brandon Graham? I'm of the opinion that pass rush is king. And I want guys, and I want to pay guys, that throw from, protect, or attack 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage. I fully believe in that old adage. I don't understand people that are defending the Khalil Mack trade. So I'm probably keeping Brandon Graham. That said, Darby is much younger, and I think that I did a full evaluation on him in the summer, and I felt like he had the potential to have a Pro Bowl season with a full, healthy offseason, his second year in the system here with Jim Schwartz. He played excellent against the Atlanta Falcons, and some of the throws that are going to go in his stat line weren't necessarily his fault either. Alexis, who are you keeping?
It's a little hard to say, but Brandon Graham is the only University of Michigan alum that I'm a big fan of. And I would definitely keep him. Like you said, the pass rush is just so critical. And I feel like you could tell the difference with him being back on the field in Thursday's game against Atlanta, like his just renewed energy with him missing some of training camp and some of, you know, the offseason workouts. It's just he brings such a difference to the team. Or with Khalil Mack last night against Green Bay, there's no way that Aaron Rodgers would have been that stifled that early without that man.
He was absolute man on fire. There was actually a question about Khalil Mack too. Let me see if I can find it here. Yeah, from David Woods at David Woe W-O 342 33951. That's a lot of Davids that were in front of you, bud. Would you have paid Khalil Mack the money that he wanted? Look, and you're never going to hear me defend that trade. No amount of heat or clicks are worth my soul. Well, he had a forced fumble. He had an interception return for a touchdown, a sack as well. The guy's an absolute beast. Alexis, you wouldn't entertain that trade either if you were the Raiders, right?
Not at all. And like, I guess I could understand if it were a team sort of in the Eagles situation where you've got a lot of talent and not a lot of money, but it's not like the Raiders were any worse off than the Bears. They both have a ton of money. They both need a ton of talent. So why would you give it to somebody else?
Yeah. And then you're betting that those two first round picks are going to replace him, and then you're going to have to pay them down the line anyway. Like, to me, this is all about like John Gruden's ego.
Oh, yeah.
It being his team, because I've lived in the Tampa, Florida area for a while. There are still tons of people that put that Super Bowl on Tony Dungy and don't give John Gruden the credit for it because he won it with Dungy's team. I think this is his way of saying, if I'm going to win it, I'm going to do it with my team. And I don't know.
I think everyone should have known that like Gruden wasn't going to be good when he said like, we all need to play like it's 1998 again. Like, no, we don't. Like, that was the biggest red flag, like two days after signing a 10-year, $100 million contract. Like, I want to play the same way I did 20 years ago. Like, no, the game has evolved. You're not going to win if you do that. But sure, go ahead. Have fun.
What's wild is he was visiting all these colleges and he's talking with all these different brilliant college minds. And you're thinking he's going to come with like this renewed game plan that's like hyper modern and you know, really based off some of the college stuff like that we saw in Kansas City yesterday, and it's not, and him saying that is just, yeah, that blows my mind.
Well, you can't do that and say, you can't say I want to be like the college ranks but then say I don't want to do analytics. Like, those two things also don't go together. Like,
right.
That's what college football is doing. That's what they're doing well. Yeah. Ugh, it makes no sense. He really irritates me.
He for a while, and only recently did his image start to get repaired here in Tampa, because he was on Monday Night Football and people got to sit back and enjoy him a little bit, put some distance between it. But here in Tampa, man, towards the end and like maybe 5 years after that, he was hated here, absolutely hated here. The way he treated the media was garbage, and they're going to find out in Oakland real quick. Okay, moving on. We've got Mark Smith at Bumble_Smith. Who would win in a fight, a horse-sized duck or 100 duck-sized horses? And let's spend conservatively the next 4 hours on this one question, Alexis.
Perfect. Perfect. I don't know that there's a simple way to answer that.
Like, are the 100 ducks like, oh, they wouldn't be glued together. That would be crazy. But how would they, 100 duck-sized horses?
Because like 100 duck bills would probably hurt more than like a giant duck bill. But then also, like, what kind of horses? Like, are we talking ponies? Are we talking like gigantic Mustangs? Like, I need more information here.
Let's call it a Mustang.
Okay.
And I'm gonna go. I can't wrap my brain around this.
I think I'm gonna go with the gigantic duck, because I feel like you can be agile and run away from it and like go under it a little, you know, really make it work to find you, versus like 100 ducks, like, where are you gonna go?
Okay, we'll go with that. I think that's the best answer we're gonna get out of that, because my brain is just frozen.
The visual
around that.
I'm trying, really incredible. Like, if you give yourself a minute to just picture the two scenarios.
All right, so Chris Carbaugh at @duh_C-train. Wow, okay. What's the official soda of choice for the BGN podcast? It's not a soda, but this show has been brought to you by Bang Energy. I'm all banged up. Alexis, what's your favorite soda of choice?
Recently, it's been root beer, because I'm super into root beer floats and anything else that goes with ice cream.
You should try a delicious Bang Energy root beer blaze is the one that they have.
Is it like energy fueling? Like, am I going to stay up for 5 more hours?
Oh, it's super aggressive. It's like 2 pots of coffee in a can.
Well, that's really exactly what I need after my 3 coffees that I have during the day. So that's perfect.
I'm a 2-pot-a-day guy. And before that, I was drinking Bang Energies. I was drinking like 2 in a day. And like when I stopped, I started getting these really bad caffeine headaches. And I was like, oh, okay. It's probably bad.
Versus like stopping. It's like, okay, I'll just drink more. Or drink more again.
You got to get rid of the headache somehow.
Right, exactly.
Hair of the dog and all that. All right, Neil Dutton. What's up, Neil? At ndutton13. What is the best sequel in movie history? Godfather Part 2 and Terminator 2 are obvious favorites, but any others? Alexis, I don't know if you're like me. I've never been able to get through The Godfather.
No, it's actually on my DVR, because I was going to give it one more go. Like, you know, got to take him to the mattresses. Like, I'm ready, but I feel like I just haven't been able to make it.
Yeah, I've tried so many times, and I fall asleep, man. I feel like I'm missing something, like, amazing, and I probably am, and that's cool and everything, but I haven't made it through that. I haven't made it through Lord of the Rings, so I can't say any of those. Terminator 2 is okay. Actually, The Raid 2 is mine. Final answer, the Indonesian Kung Fu flick. I watch a lot of international movies, and that one is pretty amazing. It has a super long continuous shot that's excellent. What about you? Do you have any sequels that you are partial to? Toy Story 2 was a close one for me as well.
I'm partial to the international one that you had mentioned. That is not on my list. But I would argue Terminator 2 is probably one of the better sequels to a movie. But I like how terribly bad, like, the Jurassic Park sequels are. Like, they're so bad, they're good.
Yeah. I love those movies. Do you listen to How Did This Get Made with Paul Scheer and, the dude,
no.
Rafi from The League?
No, but I feel like I need to.
Yeah, so Andre and Rafi from The League have a podcast called How Did This Get Made? I think there are about 190-something episodes in there. And they have these long episodes on bad movies that are actually good. And then sometimes they just have like cuckoo bonkers movies like Crank or Devil's Advocate with Crazy Al Pacino. But they also do stuff that's just like just awful, like stuff you got to find on YouTube and it's super cheesy and stuff like that. So I've watched some terrible movies like, I don't know, like Howard the Duck and whatnot, just because they've had a podcast about it. It's incredible.
Oh, yeah. That's like the best.
All right. So we've got, let's see here, Joseph Triglav at Joe Triglav. Which team's week one display was the most concerning / unexpected for their respective team? Dak Prescott. And the entire Bills roster should about cover that one for me. The Bills just don't have an NFL offense. And Dak looked like a lost puppy backup on Sunday. But we covered that on BGN Radio number 7 with me and BLG. Who do you think crapped the bed in week one, Alexis?
I have to agree with the Bills. They're always kind of bad. This was a whole new level. I thought they were going to get a little bit better. And they did not show any signs of improvement. But I was also surprised by the Steelers. Like, I know that they have some internal struggles and the Browns are up and coming, but you tied the Browns in the season opener. Like, what are you doing?
And they always have road trouble like that, which is why you could kind of see it coming. And good for the Browns for snapping their losing streak by not winning. But the Bills, the reason behind the Bills not starting Josh Allen, the way I understood it, was that the offensive line is so bad that they wanted to save him from the beating. So they basically conceded the season. But then I look, and in the third quarter with 10 minutes left, they're down 40-0, and they bring in Josh Allen where you have to pass for like the rest of the game. None of it made any sense to me. What are they doing in Buffalo?
No, I don't get it. The decision-making was questionable at like the least. And then you have Ryan Fitzpatrick down in Tampa Bay lighting crap up. Like, what is going on?
Okay, so let's see. Yeah, oh yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Where did that come from? Like, I know he went to Harvard and everything like that. Breaking news. He went to Harvard, and he's a super smart quarterback.
He's a super...
Yeah, it's visceral.
Like, oh, he's a super smart quarterback who in 15 years hasn't been really the starting quarterback, and he's just been the fill-in for every team he's ever been on. But that's fine.
And he's torching the Saints.
He torched them. It was so bad. DeSean Jackson had like...
And Marshawn Lattimore got roasted too, which was fun. So I asked BLG, I'll ask you, are the Saints some frauds because they ain't played nobody?
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
Let's see here. We've got... the other question from Raw G Moto that I wanted to get into. There was a second part to his. He asked if we would keep Darby or Graham. He said, also for Michael Kist NFL, that's me, what is your favorite historical period to read about? Roman history, before and after Caesar crosses the Rubicon, is the bee's knees for me. Excuse me.
I'm totally into it.
For a second here. Oh, cool. Good. So Rome around 49 BC is it for me. There's a lot of interesting characters, interesting battles, all the political machinations. You're talking about Caesar, Crassus, Pompey, Marius, Sulla slightly before that. Who else? Cicero is a favorite because we have all of his letters. Cato the Younger, the stubborn statesman, throw in some Cleopatra. And then later on, you get Mark Antony versus Augustus, who my baby boy is named after, little teeny tiny baby Augustus. So it's got everything, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and with the set to the backdrop of the hippie uprising. It's fantastic. There's a great series if you have Amazon Prime, HBO's Rome. Are you a history nerd or are you falling to sleep right now?
I am a history nerd. I was going to say my favorite time is like the Minoans, all the lost cultures, like from Greece and Italy from like super way back in the day.
Oh, dope.
That's my favorite. But I just love the history.
Super, super ancient?
Oh, yeah. Like where the hell they'd go.
Very nice. Dude, is Atlantis a real city?
Yes, but it wasn't Atlantis. Like, I don't think that was the name of it, but I think there was a lost, like a city back in the time, and then a huge tsunami or some kind of world event happened, and then it sank or, you know, was like destroyed. But I think a huge culture like that was way ahead of its time probably did exist.
Now, you said you like the History Channel, so I want to see if this link is happening right now, because this is where my head is going. Did aliens make that city?
Well, ancient alien theorists say... I'm not convinced, but I like watching about it.
Yeah, no, I like the guy with the crazy hair. He's awesome.
Oh my gosh, it gets bigger every year. Like one day it's going to be on the ceiling. I love it.
Awesome. All right, Jack at Jack P. Lamb, least favorite Eagles players of all time. Freddie Mitchell annoys the hell out of me.
He was on Millionaire Matchmaker one year. Like a
no
Bravo
way.
Show. Yeah, it was bad. It was tort. I was like, I feel like that guy looks familiar. I was like, oh, yeah, he's just as embarrassing as you'd think he'd be.
So let's see here. Let me see if I have any other questions.
Oh, wait. Mine was Riley Cooper.
Well, okay. So was it before or after the whole Kenny Chesney thing?
Before and after. Like, he wasn't good enough to, like, have a sort of controversy like that and be like, oh, he's probably not that crappy of a guy. It's like, no, he's that crappy of a guy. He was before. Now we really know he is. I wasn't sad to see him go, that's for sure.
And he got that stupid contract in the middle of Chip Kelly gutting the roster. Yeah.
I think that's probably what, like, pissed me off the most. Is it's like you send away all these other guys and you extend Riley Cooper. Like, what are you doing?
All right. Sean Lamont at 11 the GOAT. How did you feel seeing Green Bay let Rodgers go back in there after that knee injury? How would you feel if they did that with Carson? Alexis, what would your reaction be if Carson had a scare, knock on wood, if Carson had a scare and they put him back in the game?
Well, first of all, I thought Aaron Rodgers was going to die out there. Like, I mean, he came back out and it was great and everything, but it's like, what are you doing? That was clearly a problem if you needed carted off. And you know something like, I don't want to say shady happened in the locker room, but he got an injection, he got a pill, something happened where he was able to come back. And to be fair, Carson went, that did happen. He tore his ACL and still threw a touchdown before walking to the sideline. I still can't get over that. And he walked to the locker room. He's like the baddest ass guy ever.
Speaking of that reminds me, because you're the biggest Cameron Johnston fan on the planet, the punter for the Eagles.
Yes.
Explain your love affair for him and how deep your love goes.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious that he was a Buckeye, so that's top, you know, first and foremost. But he's also really good. Like, coming from Australia, he had to learn, you know, from rugby style kicking to American style kicking. And then he had to change again because Ohio State swapped like 2 or 3 years in. They switched how they wanted him to do it. So I think he really has the talent to be able to do multiple punts. And I'm just going to talk about punts for 30 minutes because I could talk about punters forever.
Who was your favorite all-time punter not named Cameron Johnston?
Oh.
Because mine is Reggie Roby, because he wore the Rolex when he punted, and that is a boss move.
Yeah, right. Well, you can't hate that. Oh my gosh, who is the Raiders kicker who they sent to Denver this year?
Oh, Marquette King. I love him. Yes! He's hilarious.
He has the best time on the field. My favorite players are the ones that have the most fun. And he's also good. You know, so you can actually be like, yeah, as long as he's having fun, I'm having fun.
Do you remember when they cut him and there were Eagles fans, including myself and Benjamin Solak, that wanted Marquette King to come here? Who would you pick if you had to choose, Alexis, to make this team? Cameron Johnston or Marquette King?
Cameron Johnston. And I didn't even hesitate. I've been fighting BLG all offseason about this and all of his, like, projected 53-man rosters. I was like, Cam Johnston is making it. Don't tell me he's not. But I think he's actually good. I mean, I think he's proven a little bit more with his, like, 81-yard punt and, you know, some of his longer kicks and being able to get it to stick in the 10-yard line that he's worth it. I feel like I can hear you laughing at me for talking about punting this much.
Look, I was a big believer in Cameron Johnston, too. I had him pegged to make this team the entire time. When Donnie Jones retired, I was like, we're fine, everyone. We've got Cameron Johnston on the practice squad. He worked.
Plus, you guys talked about it one time. His girlfriend, Tia Williams, is hilarious and roasts him all the time, and it's great.
We got one more question, Alexis. Jason at Ghostwriter 605. One-ply or two-ply toilet paper, which do you prefer? I don't know why I would ever be in North Korea, and that's the only place where I would be where I guess I would expose myself to one-ply, because that's just not a choice. Or maybe if I was survival camping, if I had one-ply, I'd probably go get a branch. I don't know. If you got one ply, you might as well just – I don't mean to be crass, Alexis. Please excuse me, but you might as well use your hand.
What I mean, what's the point? Like, it's two-ply or bust, really.
Exactly. Take a shower.
Just jump in the lake if you're camping. Just – go do anything else but use one ply.
All right, Alexis, thank you so much for joining me on this Off-Topic Tuesday. Is there anything that you want to say to the gentle listeners before we sign off?
Oh, just thanks for having me. It was fun. I hope to be back. I'm going to pester you until you let me come back.
Of course, Alexis, that won't be a problem. Don't worry about it. Okay, so remember, go rate, review, leave 5 stars, leave your funny reviews in the reviews there, and maybe me and Ben will read them out loud on the next Kissed and Solak show. The next Kissed and Solak show will be tomorrow. We'll be breaking down the All 22, the coaches film that dropped for the Falcons and Eagles game, getting into all the nerdy details about that. I've also got, and I'm not making any promises here, but it is scheduled. I'm talking with Duke Mannyweather from OL Masterminds. You might know him from Lane Johnson clips from the offseason, working with him. So that is going to be a fun chat. Of course, we have our regular previews coming up for the game. BGN Radio with John Stolness and Brandon Lee Gouton. Me and Ben will be doing our previews as well. So we've got you covered every which way. Plus, Trevor Sikkema from Pewter Report is going to join us this week. We're going to get an outside voice to talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after their stunning. Yeah, I love Trevor. He's the man. But yeah, we're bringing an outside voice to talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and we can try to figure out what the hell happened in week one that made them play like Superman on offense. So all that is coming your way on Bleeding Green Nation. We all we got, we all we need. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Hey guys, this is John Stolness from The Good Fight and the Phillies podcast, Hittin' Season. Man, the 2018 season was, well, it was interesting anyway, and the upcoming offseason looks to be even more interesting. So if you want to stay up to date on all things Phillies this offseason, subscribe to The Good Fight podcast feed and get my podcast, Hittin' Season, where I talk to Phillies beat writers, broadcasters, and fellow Good Fight bloggers, as well as national baseball writers, and the occasional interview with Matt Klentak and Gabe Kapler. Also, you'll get Continued Success, a Phil's podcast hosted by Justin Clue and Liz Rocher, covering all things Phillies, and The Dirty Inning, a hilarious podcast hosted by Justin and Trevor Strunk, looking at the very worst innings in Phillies history. And you'll get bonus podcasts every time big news is made with the team. Seriously, if you want to stay up to date on everything revolving around your favorite baseball team as they return to contention, make sure you are subscribed to the Good Fight podcast feed.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.